We have been looking in Genesis chapter 1 in our studies in the first hour at the beginning of creation and observing some of the lessons that we find there, and we're going to continue in that study in this hour this morning. So I'd like you to turn there with me, if you will, Genesis chapter 1. And of course, beginning in verse 1, the Bible tells us, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." Well, we're not going to go back and re-preach everything that we've looked at so far, but just to observe that what we have established is that the creation account is not just a scientific amazement or wonder, but it is theological in its nature. It pertains to life and godliness. And so as we read this account, we must always remember that the greatest impact, the greatest import, the greatest application of this creation account is to our redemption to God. It is to bring us nearer to God in one way or in another. We notice, first of all, as we look at this account, that God reveals Himself to us as the source of creation. In the beginning, God. He does not argue or try to prove His existence. He simply affirms it, and He affirms Himself as that source of all creation, of all life, and of all blessing. And that's what we looked at, that God was here before the beginning and will always be here, and we can be assured that He will always be here for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Then, in our last study last week, we looked at the power of creation. In the beginning, God created. And we see in this the word bara, something from nothing, that God made everything that we see from that which is not seen. He did it in six literal days. That has to impact us and impress us with His power. And therefore, when we look at the creation of the heavens and the earth, we see everything around us, and God spoke it into existence. He did it in six 24-hour days. It generates confidence in each one of us in His power to save us, to redeem us, to provide for us, to deliver us from sin, and therefore we will put our faith and our confidence in Him in everything. So let's go on then in our study and to notice the next part of it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As we look at the heavens and the earth, I want us to observe the order of creation. God created all things in a very specific and meticulous order. And there is a purpose behind that. The purpose, I believe, that we see in this is that God is the one who brings order to all things. When we look at the creation of heaven and earth, we find this idea here that He says, "The earth was without form and void." See that in verse 2? The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And what happened then? Then God brought order to all things. With each day of creation, God brings order to everything. This was essentially from chaos to cosmos. This word cosmos is a well-ordered or an orderly arrangement. What we're seeing here is that this was not a big bang. It was not an explosion of gas and of matter. This was not an accident. But what we see in Genesis chapter 1 in the creation of the heavens and the earth is that it was a matter of absolute design, of harmony, and of complete order. Some of the arguments that we use in evidences for God in His existence comes from the creation of this earth and the fact that God created all things. It is what we call the theological argument. Theological argument is the argument from design. That all things that we see clearly reveal intelligent design. When we see a house that is built, we know that there must be a builder. The book of Hebrews affirms that in chapter 3. all things are built by some man. We recognize that a skyscraper, that a house did not just happen as a result of an explosion. That a car did not happen as a result of an explosion at a junkyard. That even a watch on our wrist did not happen as a result of an explosion. But all of those indicate very precise design. And we see that in all of God's arrangement. Excuse me. That God is the designer, that He is the creator, and that He is the one that brought order. There is also the cosmological argument. The theological argument shows design. The cosmological argument is an argument from the orderly system of the universe. It is to observe the planetary beings, the stars, and all that is in the galaxies, and to see the fact that God brought all of this from chaos into cosmos, from the invisible atom to the unfathomable universe. I want you to consider with me the very order of creation. When we look at the order of creation, we see on day one the heavens and the earth, light, which was day and night, light in the absence thereof. God brought about the separation of day and of night. Then on day two, we see the firmament, which was the water canopy. Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet refers to this water canopy, or what is called a firmament here. Turn there with me in Isaiah chapter 40. I want you to notice how he refers to this. And when we look at it scientifically, we see that this is a very good, at least figurative expression of what God created. In verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains and the scales and the hills in a balance. Now look in verse 22. It is He who sits above the circle of the earth. There is that word kug, speaking of a sphere, not like a pancake, but a ball. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Friends, I want you to think about the firmament, the atmosphere around us that protects us from the sun's rays, that gives us everything that we need from oxygen and all of the elements that we need to exist. And it is as if God spread out a tent over us to dwell in. That's what makes the earth very much different from all other planets, is the atmosphere that it contains. It is the firmament. It is the tent that God spread out that made life possible here on this planet. The prophet speaks about this great existence. Day two, God creates the conditions, the tent necessary for life to be made. And then day three, we begin to see life. The sea, the dry land, the earth, the grass, and the trees. And then it develops from there. On day four, the sun, the moon, and the stars that are certainly going to govern the tide of the oceans and of the water, because God has put up a barrier, a wall, and He has separated the water from the dry land. And so now there are the planetary beings that are going to govern the seasons and the tides and all things that have to do with that. Then on day five, all the inhabitants of the water, the fish and everything that dwells in the water, and the birds that fly in the air. Day six, animals, the beasts of the earth, and mankind. And on day seven, God rested. What we're observing here is that everything was made, calculated very clearly, very specifically, for everything to be timed just right for life, for the proper existence of all things. Each thing that was needed preliminary to the next was made first. Everything that was necessary for the sustenance of what was made immediately after that. God eventually put man here on the earth to till the earth, to govern over it, to have authority over it, but each thing in its own order. You know, it is interesting that as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, he speaks about this kind of order in Ecclesiastes 3, beginning in verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Who made that? Who made those seasons? Who was it that determined that there was a time to plant and then there is a time of harvest? There is a window of opportunity for all things in life. There is a time to be born. There is a time to die. All of these seasons, and they come in their proper order. That is not to say that some things don't happen out of order. But I want to tell you that in just about every case that I can think of where things are out of order, it is as a result of sin. It is as a result of what man and Satan has introduced into this world. God didn't introduce it. All things that God made were in the proper order. We think about the death of a child. We've all at least witnessed that before. That's something that is out of order. That is not the natural way that things occur. Children are born, parents grow older, grandparents pass away, then parents as grandparents, and children become parents, and it is this proper order. But sometimes things are out of order. But I want to tell you, where there is death, it is a result of sin. Things that are out of order are not God's fault. God set all things into order. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time for all of these things. It is the idea of the proper order. I want us to look, even as we look at the order of the universe, I want us to think about how it operates with absolute mathematical precision. We talked about the innumerable stars last week. And let's go back to that. Innumerable stars, all of the planets and the galaxies, different sizes, different speed, and yet no collisions. That didn't happen by mere chance. I want to tell you, we know that it doesn't happen by chance because scientists can calculate the eclipse of the sun years and years in advance. That tells us that there are laws of order that were enacted in the creation of all things. If this happened as a result of a Big Bang, which is absolute chaos, then all things would still be chaos. Chaos produces more chaos. Chaos doesn't produce order. Order brings about order. Chaos brings about chaos. This is not a result of a Big Bang. It's a result of a designer. It's a result of a creator that brings about harmony and order in all things. The earth is, we are told, 93 million miles away from the sun. 93 million miles away. The sun is 12 million degrees Fahrenheit. That happens to be just the right distance with the sun at that temperature to have what we need to have for life. About 3/4 of the earth is covered with water. What's the purpose of that? Well, it helps to reduce temperature extremes. It allows for our temperatures to be relatively consistent. The oceans contain salt. Why is that? Why is there salt in the ocean? Well, because that enables clouds and rain to form in the atmosphere and yet not to develop a strong alkalinity or acidity. That's why the salt is there. There is a purpose, there is an order to everything that we see in all of creation all around us. Absolutely a beautiful arrangement of things. And then not only that, but look in the 139th Psalm. And notice what the psalmist says here in verse 14. The 139th Psalm, and in verse 14, he says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Think about the order of the human body. The human body is composed of multiplied trillions of cells. We think about the national debt being somewhere over $14 trillion. And that number boggles our minds. But when we think about just one human body being composed of multiplied trillions of cells, and in the nucleus of each one of those cells, there are hundreds of thousands of genes that are present. In the nucleus of each cell, there are multiplied trillions of cells, and in the nucleus of each one of those cells, there are hundreds of thousands of genes. And each gene consists of a complex chemical that we call DNA. And if the code of the instructions of a single human cell were put into English, we are told that it would fill a 1,000-volume encyclopedia. That's how orderly the arrangement of the human body is. One DNA, the code, 1,000-volume encyclopedia, and there are hundreds of thousands of cells with a nucleus with DNA, or hundreds of thousands of genes with the DNA that are within the cells and multiply trillions of cells. We can't even wrap our minds around that. That is how complex and yet how ordered the human body is. We spend a great deal of money. We put forth a great deal of effort to maintain the health of the human body. But I want to tell you, the very fact that it operates so well for so long is absolutely amazing. If you've ever worked with hydraulic pumps, whether it's a sump pump that you use or some other type of pump that's going to pump some product, maybe a pump that moves concrete from a truck up to a higher building, I want to tell you, pumps are wonderful, but they don't last. If you've ever had to work on one, you realize that they go out all the time. You're constantly having to replace this part, replace that part. And we complain about the fact that somewhere after the age of 50, and I know there are exceptions that go beyond that, but for the most part, somewhere in the age of 50 or 60 years old, that there may have to be a stent put in or some work done on this blood pump called the heart. That's amazing that a pump can operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not need any maintenance until after a half a century or more. It's the way that we are made, by the grace of God. And I want to tell you, it'd work longer than that were it not for sin and all that sin has introduced into this world. The human body is absolutely amazing. It is a galaxy of related systems: skin, skeletal, muscular, digestive, circulatory, respiratory, excretory, nervous, reproductive, endocrine. I mean, we could go on and on and on, and we're talking about entire complex systems in and of themselves. Think about the nervous system. Compare it to all of the electrical system of the Kansas City metropolitan area. And the electrical system of this city does not come close to the nervous system of the human body and how complex it is. And there's not hardly a rainstorm that our electricity doesn't go out a few times. Can you imagine if our body was that unreliable? That every time that there was a storm that we just shut down, then woke back up, then shut down again, woke back up? I'd be scared to get out on the roads, wouldn't you? I mean, we don't work like that. God has arranged our bodies in such an amazing way that every one of these systems affirms design and order. We don't appreciate these things until we have trouble with them. The endocrine system. We think about how all the glands work. A person who's had any problem with a thyroid gland, you talk about boggle your mind and spend countless dollars trying to figure out what's wrong with this little thing and trying to fix it. And finally, throw your hands up in the air and have the doctor just zap it with iodine or something. But this is just one part of an incredible system that God has designed. Each of the body's systems is composed of millions of interrelated components, and each system is dependent upon the other for its function. Absolutely amazing. when we contemplate all of this? What does that tell us? What does that bring to our mind? How are we to understand all of these things? What we see is that God has set in place laws. And these laws bring order. I preached a sermon some months ago about the immutability of God's laws. The fact that God does not change and that His laws do not change. And while many times people look at that as a negative thing, we've got to understand that that's a blessing. That God's laws are there for order. Look in the 119th Psalm, beginning in verse 89, and listen to what the psalmist says about this. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances. We observed in that sermon about the laws of gravity, the laws of electricity, the biological laws that we see around us everywhere, that seed brings forth after its own kind. And what we observe from this is that God in His wisdom, and by His power, by His design, God brings order to life. I want you to look at the creation account and to see God's creation, how immense, how magnificent, how amazing it is with all of the stars and the planetary beings, with this earth and with all that is in it, with the human body, and to understand that it all began without form and void. And then God began to shape and to arrange and to bring it into order, to cause it to follow after a certain order. And He did that in part by setting in place certain laws. How do you set in place a law of gravity? I have no idea. How do you set in place the laws of the tides of the water and what keeps them where they are? I have no idea. And that was God's point as He spoke to Job. Can you say this to the water? Can you say this to the rain? I can't, and I can't even understand how God does it, but here's what I know. I don't have to understand it to benefit by it, to appreciate it, and to look to God in tremendous gratitude and thankful favor, and to give Him the praise and the glory, and then to submit my life to Him, trusting Him and the power that He has to bring this kind of order. Here is the point of it all. Here is the application. When I look at the creation of all of the heavens and the earth and to understand how what God accomplished in all of that, I am to understand that if God can do that with the earth, with the dust, with the water, then God can certainly bring order to my life. God has the power and He has the will to bring order out of chaos to my life. He has the will and the power to bring order out of chaos to your life. And how many people are living with chaos in their life? How many kids feel like their life, maybe their family, is completely out of order? They feel helpless to control it. How many married couples feel like there's chaos in their marriage? And they don't even know where to begin, where to start to bring order to that marriage. And maybe it's not complete chaos, but it's not ordered. We look to men, we look to the wisdom of men trying to find those things, and we still can't find order. How many people find chaos in their life through addictions, through the lust of the flesh? We look at our country, and it is a wonderful country. I am not against this country. I am thrilled and I praise God for the freedom of this country. With all of the bad that's here, I want to tell you, I've been overseas to other places and we still live in the best country. As far as the freedom to proclaim the gospel, to live our lives with freedom, this is a wonderful blessing that we have. And yet at the same time, we have to affirm that this society and our country, our government, our governing officials, it seems to be cycling toward more and more disorder. Why is there such little order in our country today? Why is it going the direction that it's going? I want to tell you that where there is disorder, it is to the degree that there is an absence of God and His laws. Whether it is in our country, in our government, or in our marriage and in our lives, the disorder is only to the degree that there is a lack of application of God's will and His law. God brings order to our life. Sin brings chaos to our life. We look in the book of Judges. Twice in the book of Judges, the Bible makes an observation about the people in that particular day and how they were living and what was going on in their life. And what the Bible tells us as it closes in the book of Judges in chapter 21 and in verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What did that produce? Probably the worst society that we observe among the children of Israel. Horrendous things happening in their society. Chaos. Why chaos? Because every man did what was right in his own eyes. God's law was not not being observed. It was not being practiced. It was not universal throughout the land. Without law, there is chaos. Sin brings chaos to our lives. And the problem is that so many times we recognize that. We understand that we've gotten ourselves here because we've turned away from God's law and we have partaken in sin and worldliness, and so now there's chaos in our life and we want things to be ordered. So here's what too many times we try to do. We want to come back, and in this area of our life, we're going to submit to God, but we still don't want to submit in every other area of our life. There is a compromise, and so we just want to bring order here, but we don't want to fully surrender. And that won't work, because everything in our life is interrelated. And where there is no submission to God's laws, there will be disorder, and the disorder in this part of our life is going to affect and bring disorder in another part of our life. And it will continue on and on and on. Going back to the 119th Psalm, in verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Order. Light brings about order in our life. Turn back to the 19th Psalm. Go back to the 19th Psalm and observe what the psalmist says here, beginning in verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." What is that reward? That reward is peace. It is solace. It is comfort. It is contentment. It is happiness. It is blessedness. It is everything that God purposes for us in our life. In Matthew chapter 8, we read of an account, beginning in verse 23, when Jesus and His disciples got into a boat, and suddenly a great tempest arose in the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." And in verse 26, He said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Too many times in our lives, we want to live in contradiction to God's laws. We want to live out of submission to His Word. We want to do it our way. We want to have it our way. And then when chaos prevails, we want God to rise up right now and fix it for us. We want to pray to God and to say, okay, get control of this. Well, I want to tell you, God has the power to do it. But it is not that God is simply going to speak when we've gone down a path of disorder, when we've unraveled the ball and God is all of a sudden going to make it well. But what God will do is to the degree that we submit to His law and we implement it in our life, God with His power and through His law will begin to wind that ball back up, to bring order and harmony back to our life. It doesn't happen in a day. We can't right all the wrongs and fix everything with one prayer or simply going forward, but I want to tell you that that's where it begins. And it never will start and it never will begin until we humble ourselves enough to acknowledge where we went wrong and to begin to fix that. God will bring order to our life. Again, the whole point of God's laws is for our good always. Young people, never forget the point of this in your life. In Deuteronomy in chapter 6 and in verse 24, the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. Why are God's laws as they are concerning youthful lusts, the things that draw us away when we're young? Why has God forbidden the use of alcohol, recreational use of alcohol? I'm not talking about a medicinal use. We see that there is a limited application of that. I'm talking about the recreational use of alcohol, social drinking and drunkenness and everything that is associated with that. Why has God forbidden that? Read Proverbs chapter 23. It's because it brings woe to your life. It brings sadness and trouble and heartache and misery. It brings misery to your children. It brings misery to your marriage, to your spouse. Why has God given us laws as He has concerning the way that we dress? Concerning the way that we handle one another. Laws concerning sexual immorality. Because God knows the wounds that those things bring about in a person's life. God wants good for us. And to the degree that we trust Him and we submit to those laws, our life will be ordered. Temptation will be there. Satan is trying to deceive us, telling you, you'll be a lot happier if you gratify this desire. God doesn't expect you to never do that. Everyone does it. And God is saying, no, they don't. Submit to Me, know My laws, and you will know peace and happiness and order in your life. You will succeed at a younger age. You will have better and brighter days later in your life if you don't have to regret all of your youth. God will bring order to your life, and the best time in life to find that order is when you're young. If you introduce disorder to your life in your youth, then many times you will spend the rest of your life trying to untangle the knots and wind that ball back up. Not saying you can't be forgiven or you can't get to heaven, but this life will not be enjoyed nearly as much as it can be if you seek that order in your youth. And that order comes from God and from His law. What a beautiful thing that God brings order to our life. And we see that in the order of His creation. Jesus Christ destroys the disorder in our life. Would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning acknowledging that You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe, and everything that is. We recognize, Father, that You were here in the beginning, before the beginning, always were here and always will be. Your eternal nature gives us such confidence, Father. We come to You with faith and with thanksgiving that we have a Father that is eternal, that is so wonderfully powerful, and that has the ability to bring such order and peace to our lives. We thank You for the peace that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that because of Him and His death, because of Your love and the sacrifice of Your only Son, that we have the peace that surpasses all understanding through the forgiveness of our sins, that we can pillow our heads each night knowing that we will be with You one day, that You will protect us, that You will watch over us, that You have provided a hedge around us with Your Word and Your laws to the degree that we implement them. We're so thankful for these things, Father. We give You the glory and the praise for all of these, and we ask that You would continue to watch over us and care for us in this way. And help each one of us, Father, to the degree that we have failed in putting these laws to place in our life, help us to resolve to do that better. Help us to seek the help of our brethren here, to confess our trespasses, our faults one to another, to pray for each other, and to bring that about, to strengthen each other, and by that to strengthen this congregation. We thank You, Father, and we ask all this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for your attention. We'll be dismissed to our classes at this time.